Our lesson this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 20 through 25, aligning with the prophesied purpose of the tongues gift. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly lust. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a pursuit, or in a vision actually, Paul received from God as he ministered at Corinth in Acts 18:10. God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. In 1 Corinthians 14, 20 to 25, to correct the misuse of the spiritual gift of tongues in the church, Paul explained the purpose of this gift as prophesied in the Old Testament. So we view this passage for our insight and application. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have of not only meeting together, but meeting together with the Spirit of God who indwells us, who authored Scripture through holy men of God as they were carried along by the Spirit, and then who illumines the Word of God to us and then equips us by His power to live it. So we ask for wisdom to utilize each one of the ministries of the Spirit of God in regards to this matter of Your Word, that we might understand it and use it for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians 14, 20-25. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that do not believe. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, so that all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are insane? But if all prophesy, and there comes in one that believes not or one who is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Okay, having established the fact that the gift of speaking in tongues is profitable in the local church only if its utterances were translated so that the message could be understood unto edification, the question arises as to why God would even give such a gift that seemed to cloud edification in the church. I mean, if you're giving the gift of tongues, and it's understood only by those who know that language, then why give that gift? And that's a good question. In fact, we were asked this question last week. Well, Paul answered this concern in 1 Corinthians 14, 20-25 as follows. The apostle expressed his desire that his readers stop thinking like children and think like adults, with the exception that he wished them to be ignorant infants regarding the matter of evil. The Corinthian believers were preoccupied with an ungodly showmanship by speaking in tongues, and Paul wanted them to mature by understanding the proper purpose and the use of all the spiritual gifts. Paul then explained that the gift of speaking in tongues was given as a means of conveying the warning to the unbelieving people of Israel that their nation was ripe for God's punishment for sin. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, 21, Paul cited part of Isaiah 28, 11, and 12 in a section of Isaiah's prophecy where Isaiah predicted God's judgment on Israel for complaining that he was lecturing to them as if they were little children, and they mocked his method. They were complaining that he's giving us line upon line, precept upon precept. It's like you're trying to teach a little child how to memorize a verse or something. So they were ridiculing Isaiah because he was being too simplistic. So Isaiah had predicted God's judgment would be another message delivered in a foreign language, unintelligible to the Israelites in national captivity. So he says, okay, if you think this is too simple, we'll make it real hard for you. We'll make it so hard that you won't understand it because it's going to be in another language. Now, when they heard that, that signaled judgment. This prediction by Isaiah aligned with the Mosaic Covenant revelation in Deuteronomy 28, verse 49 in its context, that a foreign tongue symbolized God's rejection of Israel in punishment for her sin. In that passage in Isaiah chapter 28, verses 47, 8, 49, so forth, God was saying, if you sin to the point where I have to take you into captivity, then you will be exposed to a people whose language you don't understand. And that will be, of course, a sign of judgment, a national judgment on the nation. So what God did is giving the gift of tongues. He gave the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost, and only Jews were present. Remember, they'd all gathered there in Jerusalem, because three times out of the year, all the men of Israel were supposed to gather in Jerusalem. That was one of the times, the day of Pentecost. And they heard these people speaking these other Gentile languages, and they talked to the apostles and said, what does this mean? And Peter says, you're in trouble. God's getting ready to judge you because you put the Messiah, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And, of course, these Jews who knew Deuteronomy chapter 28, they knew about the God speaking to them in Gentile languages. They recognized that this was the signal of coming national judgment. So Peter, later in his sermon, he says, you better repent, change your mind, and save yourself from this doomed generation. And so they did. These 3,000 Jews who made the decision to put their faith in Christ, they were afraid of national judgment on Israel. They didn't want to be part of that. So that's why, out of fear, they came to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the gift of tongues was a sign of the fulfillment of the Mosaic Covenant. So tongues were for a sign, not for the company of believers in Israel, but for unbelievers in the nation who had turned away from following the Lord. So you see where we're headed with this. The gift of tongues was never meant for Gentiles, or Gentile Christians really per se. It's meant to warn Israel that she needed to repent, that this movement of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was of God. It was of Israel's God. So they needed to believe. However, the gift of prophecy that provides clear truth to the mind was not for rebellious unbelievers like the gift of tongues was for Israel's unbelievers, but for believers. See, believers understand this. God had a tendency to cloud the truth for people who were unbelievers. Remember, he did this in when he spoke to them in parables back in Matthew chapter 13. And the disciples came to him and said, why are you speaking to them in parables? He says, well, because they're dull of hearing. And so since they're dull of hearing, I'm sealing them unto judgment. So that's why Jesus was speaking to parables. But he said, blessed are your ears because you understand what I'm talking about. And that's why Matthew 13 parables are for believers. They're not for unbelievers. When you get into the book of Revelation, you'll notice that the revelation starts off, Revelation chapter 1, 1 and 2, starts off, this is for God's servants. It's not just for anybody. And that's why the book of Revelation is so difficult to understand. It's difficult to understand intentionally because God doesn't want people who are not right with him to understand it. He wants godly people to understand it. And that's very important. Therefore, if the whole local church, remember the church is different from Israel, if the whole local church were to meet together in one place and all were to speak with the gift of tongues, speaking in Gentile languages that no one else understood, and visitors to the gathering who were untaught and unbelievers were to observe the massive tongues-speaking spectacle in the church, instead of being edified, they would claim that the church had insane people in it. Now, I've been exposed to some unbelievers who they've been to charismatic meetings, and that is exactly what their response is. They don't have all their wits about them. That's what the complaint is. Because this gift was meant, the spiritual gift was meant originally for the nation Israel in fulfillment of Scripture. Conversely, if all the believers in a local church prophesied, and that means you're speaking in the language that they understand, and an unbelieving Gentile or an untaught believer were to visit the meeting, he would be convicted of sin and be called into account by what he understood was being said. The secrets of his heart being disclosed and falling down, he would worship God and declare that God was really among this gathering of believers. So the lesson is the gift of tongues was the supernatural ability to communicate God's truth in Gentile languages as a sign to the nation Israel that it was about to be punished by God for its sin. And this goes all the way back to the Mosaic Covenant. This fact explains the fearful reaction of the Hebrews in Acts 2, 40 to 41 and to Peter's sermon of the conviction of sin. Thus, the gift of tongues ceased when God ceased dealing with Israel at the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple in AD 70. And use of this gift was to be translated in churches of believers in order to edify people in the churches as long as the gift continued to exist. This is why Chrysostom, who was a church father in the 3rd century, he was writing a commentary on the book of 1 Corinthians. When it came to this issue of speaking in tongues, he said, we don't even understand what this gift is. The gift of tongues had passed off the scene so early that by the 3rd century, a notable church father, who would be a major leader in Christendom at the time, didn't even know what the gift was. That's a very strong evidence that the gift stopped, God stopped giving the gift in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed. He might have just stopped even before that. We don't know. But the gift of tongues was meant to get Israel to believe. And of course, Israel rejected faith in Christ, and so she was judged. And God has put Israel aside because of AD 70. And she's undergoing discipline at this point. This is one reason why the Gaza war is there, and that's going to continue. And it's going to head up till after the rapture. The Antichrist sets up a false peace treaty with Israel for 7 years, and he's going to break it halfway, and then he's going to try to destroy the entire nation. And the bulk of the people of Israel, the remnant, will flee into, we believe it might be Petra, which is south of the Dead Sea. And she'll hide there. And then Satan, through the Antichrist, will go after and try to destroy anyone who believes in Christ at that point. But then Israel will be saved because the nation will repent by the time you have Christ return. And then God will start working with the nation Israel once again. But the application is, since God intended for the gift of tongues to be a sign to the nation Israel to repent while he was still working with her, we should realize that God's cessation of his ministry to Israel also included the cessation of the tongues gift. However, in the church, all speaking gifts are meant to edify by use of known statements. And the reason is, you don't edify a person unless you get through the mind. You never edify through going through the heart or the emotions first. It goes through the mind and then from the mind to the heart. And that's the order. If it's going through the mind first, because communicating to the mind, and then it makes sense, and then it gets to the heart. That's great. That's what God wants. Someone has said the heart is like the caboose, and the mind is like the engine on a train. You have to have the engine in front of the caboose. You don't put the caboose in front of the engine. So it goes through the mind to the heart. So that's the whole purpose of the gift of tongues. In fact, if you check the book of Acts, wherever tongues is given as a gift or it's given to a new set of people, Jews are always present, always. When I was in Bible college, the man who started our college at Bible college, Dr. Jack Mitchell, at the time didn't know this, but he told us that someday they're going to find out why the gift of tongues was given. He says, we don't know it now. This is back in the 1960s. But he says, I've noticed in Scripture wherever the tongues appears, the Jews are present. So mind you, he says, keep in mind, it's going to have to do with the Jew. And, of course, after that we found out it goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 29, and that's where it is. It is predicted by Moses. And so this is something that goes way back into Israel's history. In fact, I overheard some Jewish fellows talking one time. These are Christian Jews. And I had explained that the gift of tongues goes back to the Mosaic Covenant. And one of them talked to the other guys and said, that makes perfect sense. And these are Jews who knew Scripture. It makes perfect sense what Pastor Shell is saying. It's Jewish, of course. But it has to be Gentile languages of God speaking to them to warn them of the punishment that was going to come on the nation. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the subject here, not necessarily. If there's something else that has come up, we'll seek to answer that by means of Scripture as well.